You're listening to the Vermont Edition podcast. This is Meg Malone, the Vermont Edition digital producer, just here to let you know that this episode has been edited for clarity and brevity.
This is Vermont Edition. I'm Bob Kinzel. Secretary of State Jim Kondo says the state will take whatever steps are needed to ensure that Vermont's voter database is not turned over to a special presidential commission on election integrity. The panel was created by President Trump to investigate what Trump says were massive cases of voter fraud during the 2016 presidential election. The president insists that voter fraud is the reason why Hillary Clinton won the popular vote by over 3 million votes. Kondo says he doesn't trust the agenda of the presidential commission.
The intention is still not to send any information to this commission because we believe it's going to be used nefariously. We believe that what they're trying to do is a form of voter suppression that will reduce voter rolls. And this is the first time in history, the last 5 years, that we have seen a real concerted effort across this country to suppress the vote. And we're really, many of us in this industry, in this business, are very concerned about that.
Why is Secretary Kondo so concerned about the work of this commission, and are there steps that can be taken to prevent voter fraud? These are some of the questions we have for our guest today, Secretary of State Jim Kondo. Jim, welcome back to Vermont Edition.
Thank you, Bob. It's great to be here.
Let's start off with this presidential commission. This summer, the commission asked all states to provide them with voter information is part of its review of possible voter fraud in the 2016 election. Vermont and a number of other states have said, no, you can't have this information. So what specific data is the commission seeking, and why are you so reluctant to give it to them?
Simple. We know what the agenda is for this group, even though the president and the vice president have come out and said that they are actually looking at how they can improve the election integrity. The whole focus of the first two meetings and the two letters that they have sent us has been about massive voter fraud. And really, the information that they're asking for, that they're now asking for, that many states can provide and some states can't, is not enough information to do what they want to do, which is determine how many people should be purged from the voter registration list. I'll be honest, Bob. Are there dead people on our voter registration rolls? Yes. Are there people who have registered in another state and forgot to either tell us or the state that they moved to didn't respond to or didn't send us formal notification that they have registered? Yes. But having those kinds of things in place does not constitute voter fraud. What would constitute voter fraud is if someone was using that information and then voting on it. And we're not seeing that. We just aren't seeing that.
And so when you talk about voter suppression efforts on the part of this commission, what are you worried about? What are they going to do, or what are they going to recommend that you think will suppress the vote?
Well, if you look back over the existence of the United States, going back to the 1700s, when the United States was first formed, the only people then that could vote were white male landowners. And since that time, there have been 10 to 12 instances where either the Constitution has been amended or a Voting Rights Act has been implemented where it's always been about expanding the right to vote and expanding voter registration. So we now allow women to vote. We allow minorities to vote. We allow 18-year-olds to vote. We lower the age from 21 to 18. So it's always been about expanding the right to vote, except in the last 5 years or 6 years. What we've seen across this country has been a very large attempt to move towards voter suppression, to reduce the rolls, to make it difficult for people to vote. And it actually targets four specific areas. It targets senior citizens, it targets low-income folks, and it targets students and minorities. And they are the ones that have the most trouble getting the proper ID or whatever that is needed to allow them to vote. I have an example in my own life. My mother, she's 89 years old. She is in an assisted living facility. She no longer has a photo ID. We found that out when we were trying to clean up some of my father's probate stuff. And many of the companies that we had to deal with required a photo ID, and she didn't have one. And we were able to do a workaround, but the fact of the matter was her driver's license, she hasn't driven in years. And she doesn't have a valid driver's license. Her passport had expired many years ago, so she doesn't have a valid passport. And those are required photo ID for government photo IDs. So, you know, there was a case where it was going to be problematic to have to load my mom in a car and take her to DMV and find have the proper identification to get her properly ID'd. And so it's a problem, and senior citizens have a real problem with this, as do the other three groups that I mentioned.
Now, the president says to the states that won't send in this voter information, he says, you must have something to hide, because if you didn't have anything to hide, you'd send it in.
Except that we know what it's going to be used for, and that's the problem. The data that could be sent is name, address, and year of birth. And if we were to send that information in, that is not enough information to do what they want to do, which is determine how many people are duplicative on voter rolls across the country, and even how many people have voted more than once. And I'll give you a good example. There's been a report out there by one of the media outlets that they, I don't know how many states they looked at, but they found eight states where there was a person named Mike Pence registered to vote. And in fact, those eight different states, seven of those, Mike Pence voted. That does not make Mike Pence guilty of voter fraud. It's eight different people. But that exists. That happens. That's problematic. And Kris Kobach, the Secretary of State from Kansas, who's the co-chair of this commission with Vice President Pence, has his own system called Kansas Crosscheck, which a number of states have joined to bounce their databases off of, and he's been chastised by the federal courts for many false positives. In fact, a study was done on some of the false positives he had, and for every one that was an actual positive, a faulty registration, there were 200 that shouldn't have been. And in fact, the media outlet tracked down one of the members that was purged from the list and went up to him and asked the guy, he was out raking his lawn, and said, do you know that you're dead? And the guy looked at him and said, well, this must be heaven then.
Do you think if you looked, you talked about, yes, there are some dead people on voter checklists, and there are people who have moved around. Let's just understand the process here. If a person does not vote in two consecutive statewide elections, does that automatically prompt a letter from the local board of civil authority to say, are you still living there?
It doesn't automatically do it, but the board of civil authority at the local town level has the power, and we're actually right at the tail end of that this year, but they have the power to send a challenge, what we call a challenge letter, to the person at the address known, and you know it's a non-forwardable letter, so it comes back if it's the person's not there, it'll come back, and at that point they can remove it, and it's left the discretion is left up to the Board of Civil Authority whether to send that letter out, and that is because many people know, I know Joe Smith, and I just know he hasn't voted for the last couple of times, but he's still there. And even if someone were to be removed, we put them in what we call an inactive file. And if they showed up on election day and said, well, hey, I want to vote. And they say, well, you've been removed from the voter rolls. we can add them back in, especially now that we have same-day voter registration, which is one of the beauties of having same-day. Nobody will be denied unless they can, you know, truthfully fill out that form.
So just to be clear, if I don't vote in two consecutive statewide elections and I get a letter from my local Board of Civil Authority and I don't respond to that letter, they can take me off the checklist.
They could take you off the checklist.
And then it would be same-day voter registration. If I went to vote and said, hey, I really do want to vote, and this is a new law for Vermont that went into effect January 1st.
Correct.
Any problems with same-day voting registration? Are there, the critics of it say it opens itself up to fraud.
It's there's always going to be those critics, and it's unfortunate. I want to just say that same-day voter registration, automatic voter registration were passed bipartisan in the legislature. It was Republicans, Democrats, and progressives and independents. There was no one group that vetoed it, so to speak, because people here recognize the importance of the ability to vote. You know, Bob, the ability to cast a ballot in this state is guaranteed by the U.S. Constitution and by the Vermont Constitution. And it is a right. It is not a privilege. It is a right. And we should be doing everything we can to remove any and all obstructions and not make it difficult for people to be able to cast a ballot and participate in their democracy.
Let's go to our callers and talk to Kala in Fairfax. Hi, Kala. Welcome to the program.
Thank you. Glad to be able to talk. I was just wondering why some issues, which I think aren't as important, are always spending a lot of time working on them when there's so many more issues that Vermont has. Vermont's impact on the national vote is not going to be that big because of its size. So why be spending time on this when there's so many other things that need to be helped in Vermont? I'll take my reply offline. Thank you.
All right. Thank you.
Well, thank you. That's a great question. And, I mean, I would love to be able to spend less time having to deal with fighting these battles and focus my energies on getting more people to participate. But it just doesn't, you know, this is in front of us right now, and that's what we have to deal with. So that's the reason why we are trying to be thoughtful, responsible, and create a situation where our voter registration database is as accurate as possible. And I do want to say, Bob, that because of automatic voter registration now and the new electronic system that we've just put in place, our database is probably at its most accurate that it's ever been, and will only get stronger as we go. Today, the average person, most people who move within a town or move within a state, and that's what's been proven. But the last place they think to go change their address is their voter rolls. People are always going to their Department of Motor Vehicles to change their license. I shouldn't say always, that some people don't. But they generally do go change their license because they know they need it in order to cash a check or whatever. So so it's the kind of thing where using the automatic voter system, we're getting more accurate data, and it's coming to us in a digital format, so the information is better as well.
Let's turn to Beth in South Wheelock. Hi, Beth. Welcome to the program.
Thank you very much. I just have a couple comments. When we go to vote in Wheelock at the Wheelock Town Hall, we still use paper ballots. And for many years, I thought that was really backward. But seeing how easy it is for people to hack into computers, I'm really grateful that we're still using paper ballots. The other comment that I have is I think the greater voter fraud that we need to look at is the Electoral College. I think it discourages people from voting because they don't feel that they really have a voice. It is not one vote for one person because the Electoral College makes the decision. We saw that with this past election. So those are my comments.
All right, Beth, thanks very much. You know, a lot of people are worried about ballots and ability of people to hack into them. And as Beth mentioned, there are a number of towns in Vermont still use paper ballots. And well, even the optical scan towns, they use paper ballots too.
Well, first off, let me clarify. All towns in Vermont use paper ballots. It's a requirement. It was practiced prior to around 2002 when we had the first Help America Vote Act bill come through. But after that, I forget exactly the legislative session. It was 2002 or 3 or 4. We actually added, and I was on the committee at the time that did it, we made it mandatory that Vermont had to have a paper ballot at the end of the day. Then that opened us up to be able to, in 2005 or 2006, where we added enabling legislation to allow the Secretary of State to conduct election audits post general election, and it was not mandatory until 2011 when I took office. I went to the legislature and asked to make it mandatory, and we now conduct election audits for the entire ballot of specific towns that we choose randomly, and we have seen very little discrepancy between the actual vote total on election night and what we're seeing in the audit. The other point was
the Electoral College.
Oh, the Electoral College. Actually, I'd call it good news on that front. I was a strong supporter when I was in the legislature of what's something called National Popular Vote. They have a website, National Popular Vote, and you can go to it. But it was something that I had introduced language on in the Senate over a couple of terms. Essentially, it's to take the country back to the person with the most votes wins. And Vermont did finally pass it in 2011 or 12. It doesn't take effect until 270, the number of electoral college votes that are needed to win, until the number of states equals 270 electoral votes. At that point, it's basically a consortium that will kick in at the time that 270. And we're right now closing in on 200, so it's getting closer every year.
The idea of paper ballots, are there some states that now use touchscreen voting, and do they not have any kind of paper trail to reflect how a person voted?
Yes, and I'm aghast at that. I don't understand. You can't do. I don't know how they do recounts. I don't know how they do audits. It's really problematic. There's about 10 states, I think, that still use what are called DREs, direct response election voting or something. It's basically a touchscreen, and there have been proven cases where those things are. They get out of whack, not necessarily hacked, but they're out of whack. The other point I want to make about hacking, just to make sure people understand, the OctoScan machines that we use, the vote tabulators, are never connected. In fact, they aren't connected at all to the internet, whether by hardwire or Wi-Fi. It is all they do is count the ballots. The boards of civil authority in each of those towns will then put those ballots into a bag that is sealed, and the town clerk has to keep that in her vault for 22 months following the general election.
You mentioned the automatic voting registration. That's been in effect now for about 8.5 months.
Yes.
Has it been successful?
It's been very successful. Just to give you a feeling of the numbers, I looked at them before I came over today. In the 2016 cycle, which ended in November last year, we ended up at around 470,000 voter registrations. If you go back a year from that to the 2015 and actually go back to about August, that number was down as low as 420 some odd thousand. So we added close to 50,000 people during that year's time prior to the election. This year, and this is the year where the numbers start fluctuating a bit because right now all of our towns are going through the process of issuing challenge letters and reviewing their doing their maintenance on their checklist. But the numbers are holding fairly constant at about 466,000 to 470,000 month to month. And it's mainly due to the automatic voter registration. So we're picking up. We estimate that there are somewhere between 30 and 50,000 Vermonters who are not registered who are eligible to be registered.
We got this email from Anna about this automatic voting system. As a legal permanent resident, I was taken aback when I was renewing my license and I saw I would be automatically registered to vote unless I indicated otherwise. Of course, I opted out, but I'm concerned that other legal residents whose literacy skills are not as strong may miss this option. Also, are the DMV staff members trained to look out for this and make sure that no legal immigrants get accidentally enrolled to vote?
Yes, and we work with DMV on a constant basis. In fact, we had just this morning some updates from them. But it's something that we do. And please understand there are penalties for voter registration fraud. If you were to register illegally on purpose, you could be fined up to $15,000 or 10 years in jail. I may have got those numbers backwards, but in any case, it's a significant amount. You know, there are three basic questions that are asked in order to be able to vote, to be eligible to vote. One, are you a U.S. citizen? Two, are you a Vermont resident? And three, are you 18 or over? Or will you be 18 by the general election? Those are the same questions that the DMV asks, and that's why we're able to do this. And there is an opt-out, and there's also protection in case someone were to nonchalantly or not intentionally get themselves registered and then find out later. So there are protections in place, and the systems are reviewed at DMV before they are forwarded to our office.
We got this from Stephen, a post at our Facebook site. Would Vermont consider a proposal to refuse to put a person on the ballot for president of the United States unless they release 5 years of tax returns? Stephen wrote us, California just did this, and it's a great idea.
I would certainly want to engage in that discussion. I think it's probably something that we could do, but it's up to the legislature, not up to my office to determine. So, you know, we would offer advice and encouragement to the legislature to review any option that may come up. I think, you know, just this year with the Ethics Commission, we now have for the first time a proposal where legislators are now have to provide a financial disclosure form, and statewides actually have to provide their tax return as part of the registration to be on the ballot. And I see no difference for having something like that for the president to be president of the United States. Number of years, that can be determined.
So let's go back to this special presidential commission. When they wrote you back at the middle of June, I believe, you wrote them back and you said something to the effect of, hey, if you want to investigate voter fraud, why don't you look at what's going on in Russia? What did you mean by that? And do you think that there have been cases that of Russian influence to try to affect the outcome of the presidential election?
So June 28th was when we got their first letter. And in that letter, the demand, which, by the way, the commission had not even seen the letter before it went out. It was just sent out by the vice chair of the committee, Chris Kobach. But the letter was sent out and demanded not only name, address, how you voted, your full Social Security number. It also asked for your full date of birth, your driver's license number. Those are all things that we consider off limits here in Vermont. And that was what my initial take on it was. But what we did do, we responded to the commission. They sent out a letter. It also included several questions that they had, and some of those questions included, what would you what should we look at? And, for instance, I said most importantly, look at foreign interference and attacks on our voting systems. Since the commission is labeled, is called the Presidential Commission on Election Integrity, that most importantly, they should look at the foreign interference and attacks on our voting systems. They should look to have requirements for paper ballots in all states. They should look for requirements that states have audits of their general elections. They ought to look at providing more convenient and accessible polling places. Many of the states, one of the things that they've done as part of this voter suppression is to reduce the number of polling places, creating longer lines at the other ones that are remaining. I suggested that they ought to look at expansion of early voting periods. You know, Vermont expanded from 30 days to 45 days when the federal government mandated that overseas voters, meaning military and overseas expats, could have up to 45 days. So there were lots of ways of doing this that they could look at to make things better.
So we're almost out of time, but I'm wondering, from everything that you've read and looked at, do you think there was an effort by Russians to influence this election?
I'm only going on what we heard from the different federal organizations. Yes, we do believe that Russia was trying to attempt to change our system. I think because they found out that our election systems are so decentralized, they changed their focus and they were starting to target, at least according to information we have from the Homeland Security, they started to target our voter registration databases. We do not believe that we were attacked in any way here in Vermont. There were 19 states that were. Those 19 states all had the same system in place and was that of a particular vendor that they had been used. To our knowledge, nobody got actually hacked except for the initial, which was Arizona and Illinois. Those were the original back in August of last year.
So it would be difficult to hack Vermont's registration system?
It would be very, very difficult to hack Vermont's registration system. And we have a couple of things in place. One is we have proper firewalls. We monitor it on a regular, everyday basis. And we have the age-old human eyes on the registrations. Every registration goes to the town clerk of jurisdiction, and that town clerk has to review it and authorize it to be added.
A lot of interesting issues here for us to follow. Secretary of State Jim Kondos, many thanks for taking the time to be on the program today.
Thank you very much, Bob. I'm more than happy to be here anytime.